You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space, a monthly podcast of artist talks, panel discussions, and other events.
Tēnā tātou katoa. Nō mai hoki mai ki tēnei kaupapa kōrero o The Physics Room. Nō mai, whakarongo mai, whakatau mai. My name is Abby Kinane and I'm the director of The Physics Room, a contemporary art space dedicated to developing and promoting contemporary art and critical discourse in Aotearoa. Based in central Ōtautahi since 1996, we assist artists with resources and opportunities to enable creative and professional development and work to support the acknowledgement and understanding of contemporary art among New Zealanders. Our goal is to actively seek links between the arts and other areas of cultural production, and to involve art as a contributing voice in wider intellectual, social, and political debate.
Nō mai hoki mai, welcome to episode 33 of Art, Not Science. My name is Michelle Wang, the Assistant Curator at the Physics Room. And in this episode, we are sharing the artist talk from our exhibition, Kapuia Na Aho, Dance of the Bushien, where I talk with the artists Wai Ching Chan and Tessa Maunga. Employing a language of threads and knots, this collaborative exhibition explores ancient Chinese narratives in connection with people, materials, and relationships in Aotearoa. According to some Chinese origin narratives, the world began in a murky dark void, from which the dual forces of yin and yang, and heaven and earth, emerged and intermingled, giving birth to the myriad life forms in the ecosystem. Due to a period of crisis, a great deluge occurred, after which the goddess Nüwa patched up the heavens and cut off the legs of a giant turtle to use as pillars to prop up the sky. Nüwa went on to form humanity from soil and rope. Thus, humanity was created to care for the ancestral heritage in harmony with the natural environment. In this exhibition, Wai Ching Chang and Tessa Maunga remake the pillars of heaven using harakeke, silk, manila rope, wool, mop string, mulberry paper, and pearls. Made from natural materials that speak to seafaring and migration, these pillars seek to reconnect and hold cultural and historical links between China and Aotearoa using traditional Chinese knots, paper cutting, and other weaving techniques. The installation also incorporates the voices of those with Chinese whakapapa across Aotearoa who are asked to contribute an object and a statement that expresses the diversity and breadth of their experiences. Built on friendship and love, the ropes in this exhibition aim to repair the relationships between tau iwi and tangata whenua and gather the voices of those with Chinese whakapapa in their threads. Now, let's hear from Tessa and Wai.
Kia ora koutou, thank you all for coming. We're in Kapuia Na Aho, Dance of the Bushien, which is an exhibition that's been made beautifully by these two artists, Tessa Maunga and Wai Ching Chang. And today they're joining us for an artist talk to tell us more about the work and their practice. So just to start, would you guys mind introducing yourselves and telling us a little bit about your practice?
Tēnā koutou, we've been learning tēnei aho. No Guangdong, no Choi San, no Pangyu o Katukuma. Ki taho toku mama no Langenbach Tiamamu, no Europi, ko Tessa Maunga aho. I live in Palmerston North. I have three kids and currently doing my PhD in creative arts around the same type of subject, the connections between Aotearoa and Southern China.
My name is Wai Ching and I'm from Hong Kong. I moved here maybe almost 10 years ago. It will be my 10 year anniversary this coming September. But I live in Auckland and I'm not doing a PhD. At the moment, I'm working at the Auckland Memorial Museum. Just my practice has always been how to create like a harmonious relationship, more focusing on being a, what do you call it, a newer generation of Chinese migrants as tau iwi and how we interact with tangata whenua. Even though there's no big conflict, there's still like a little gap between the two communities. They just don't really know how to interact with each other. So I just like thinking about it and trying to maybe mention that maybe we can find the arts, we can talk more about it. And this is how I start my work with the knots and like what is the trans symbolism to represent that wish or efforts to bring the two together. So it's quite like overlapping with what Tess is doing, essentially. Yeah. And I majority do a lot of soft material work, and I started with yarn ropes mainly, but now I'm kind of going into more like a crocheting situation, like more focused on the act of crocheting as well. So the works behind you is kind of like newer work that I'm trying to test around. Yeah.
So, I don't think I introduced myself properly. I'm Michelle Wang, I'm the assistant curator here at the Physics Room. And so, to sum up really briefly how the show came to be, I've been following Y's practice for a while, and so I reached out to Y, invited her for a show, and then I think you guys have been in a conversation about doing something for a little while already, and so Y asked herself to collaborate with her on the show, and that is very briefly how the show kind of came to be. So, would you guys like to talk a little bit about how you guys met, how you guys became friends, and those early conversations that kind of were the seed for the show?
Yeah, I think I stumbled across one of Y's installations. It was similar to this knot that hung from the ceiling and met the floor. It was something that I had actually thought about doing myself, and because it kind of shows this relationship between heaven and earth, and kind of alludes to Pokopapa, our genealogy and our ties to an origin and to each other. And I noticed she also did a collaboration between a Māori friend and herself, and it was about the friendship across cultures, and they used muka. And so I was also like looking for people who I could collaborate with, so I just happened to be in Auckland. I messaged her, can we meet up? We're kind of doing the same thing. And then later on, she was working with David at the museum, my brother. So we were hoping to work together, and then this opportunity came up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we first met, like, maybe just like seeing each other, and Aotearoa Asian artist Hui, there was an Wellington, it was held in Te Papa, and then Tessa messaged me about, let's collaborate. It was like a few years ago, so this conversation actually lasted a few years ago because we just too busy and the pandemic hits and just the hinders and quite a few things, but we managed to actually have this opportunity from Michelle, and we started to just, actually I could use this opportunity to maybe form more perspective on from my own, then I will start to collaborate with maybe more different artists around. But I think the reason why I really want to collaborate with Tessa, because we're still like on the similar standing ground, is like kind of figuring out how to do this kind of work, promoting harmonious relationship as someone who has a Chinese Whakapapa or just as ourselves. So it will be quite different from my work with Arapeta Ashton, who's Tangata Whenua, and actually giving me guidance and taking me under his wing to actually show me the ropes and with the Wanganaho. So it was like, I just feel like it's time for me to actually start working on myself and like from my own perspective, than just relying on, I feel like I'm relying on Tangata Whenua effect essentially. So this is more like, I need to do my study with, and I'm glad that Tessa is here with me too.
So maybe now it's a good time to talk about the work that's in the room. Tessa spoke beautifully about it last night at the private opening. Do you mind starting and telling us about broad ideas that are in the show, each of the works and process of making?
Yeah, I think last night we had a really nice opening, and we had lit some incense outside the door, just as a symbolic gesture of gratitude and prayer or praise, and the blessings of having this opportunity to create the work and the inspiration that's come for the work, which is beyond ourselves, comes from a divine source. And just the gratitude for this body and those that have invited us to participate and supported us in this. I think the way we've approached this exhibition is kind of like a wish or a prayer in itself, because it's really about our aspirations for harmonious relationships. We were thinking of the title for the show, and we wanted to find a Chinese concept or words in Chinese. And why I found this proverb?
So in Cantonese, it's Dan Si Ba Sin, and Michelle has also pronounced it in Mandarin, which is Dan Si Bu Xian. It is an idiom meaning a single thread can make a cord. So this bridge kind of really nicely summarized what Tessa and I was thinking about, is that we need to work together somehow to actually make community stronger. And that's how the idiom was chosen to be in our Chinese title for the show.
Yeah, and we were thinking about how we should translate it, and we were all reminded of the Whakatauki by Ki Tāwhiao. Ko tahi te aho, ka whati, ki te kāpuia, e kore e whati. So if there's just a single thread, it will break, but if you gather them together, they won't break. Yeah, so we felt that those are really parallel. And I was also sharing last night, Kingi Tāwhiao had made that statement in the late 1800s during the time of the land wars and calling the people to stay together, work together during this crisis. And I was thinking about how 200 years on, we still really need to figure out how to do this, reintegrate, and thinking about some of the consequences of the privatization of land, the mass migrations, urban migrations to cities, not only from overseas coming here, but also, Māori and everyone leaving home, ancestral lands and coming to the cities, and the breakdown of village life, the disintegration of the fabric of village life. So in these works here, I was reflecting a lot about the spirit of a village, a rural village where our ancestors would have come from, but because of various crises throughout these last couple of hundred years, these villages have changed, families have become largely nuclear, separated, and this connection, close connection to land and the natural environment is also changing.
You guys have created this kind of primordial space. As we were in the room, she was murky, dark, void, looking back to Chinese origin stories. Do you guys want to talk about the story of Yuan? Like, I guess when you go back to the beginning,
and
you look at origin stories like across cultures, they're actually really similar. And I think maybe Tessa, you guys saw lots of connections between Chinese and Māori origin stories.
Yes.
Yeah, we might just go back to when we were first having conversations about the exhibition. So the three of us were meeting on Zoom regularly and just discussing, working through the project together. And we knew that we wanted it to be about being Chinese in Aotearoa somehow. And we were sharing our own experiences, and we were all very diverse. So my great-grandfather on my dad's side are from southern China, and they moved to Canada and California. And then my mum is German, Jewish, and European. And I grew up here. And then Y is from Hong Kong, and she knows her parents are from Hong Kong, but after that, it's kind of a mystery. Maybe there's some fishing ties or something. And
I come from a long line of farmers from the Fujian province, and I moved with my parents here to Tamaki when I was three. I moved to Ōtautahi about 3 years ago. Yeah, so we're all Chinese in very different ways.
Yeah.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
Yeah, when we were consulting, the question was posed, like, where is the space and contemporary art discourse for our story? Recently, there's a lot of focus on Indigenous stories, but where is the place for other ethnic minorities? Mm-hmm. And also in a way that speaks, you know, across cultures directly in a conversation with Indigenous people. So we felt that going back to an origin story to Pūrākau could have this conversation with the Te Ao Māori worldview. And the stories, you know, are strikingly similar. Like in the beginning, you know, it said that the world began in this murky void that was dark and empty and there was nothingness, and gradually from this misty vapor emerged yin and yang, and through there the opposing forces intermingling, gradually like heaven and earth were born, and from there intermingling like the myriad of things in the universe. Mm. So it's really parallel to Te Kore Te Pō Te Ao Marama, and the story of Nua, so she was a goddess. There was a time when the world was in crisis and the heaven was kind of falling apart and there was flooding happening throughout the earth. And so she mended the sky and she cut off the legs of a giant turtle to use as pillars to hold up the sky. And so this concept of pillars holding up the sky as well, and the axe that cuts them down, like, is also parallel in Māori Pūrākau. And then she goes on to make the first humans from soil. And she uses a rope to pull up the multitudes of the people. So we wanted to share a Chinese contribution to that discourse about the way we view our origins, and this worldview that we're all, you know, we have familial ties together and with the natural universe, and we all came from one origin, same origin. Yeah, so that pillar of there is made from vanilla rope, that DNA looking knot, and it's vanilla rope is made from banana fibers. I think of the trunk of the banana. Yeah, it speaks to our whakapapa, to the story of Nua, to the earth, but also for us, to that part of subtropical part of the world where this was a fiber that was used. And it's also used for marine, it's a really good marine rope. It's natural, but it lasts in the sea and the sun. So it also speaks to that early and continued seafaring culture that exists around the China coast and Southeast Asia and down throughout to Aotearoa as well.
Do you want to wet that column too?
This column? Yeah, so this one also has the Chinese knotting thread and these shells and sinkers. And again, it's about our love for kaimoana, for the sea, this culture that exists around the sea, and the migrations and intermarriage and intertrade that's existed for many, many, many years. You were mentioning Vietnam and how there's an old connection to southern China, and just these migrations have always been there. Yeah. And this evolution of culture and language, and when different cultures come together.
And why do you want to talk about your two columns and your panels?
So this column, I recreated the knots from my work, the first ever knot work that I made. That was a few years ago, and I named that work, What Can I Give You, Chen Chen Gaga, which is like forever and ever. But I said the Chinese term have similar sounding as nine, so that one knot is actually 9 meters long. It's like taking like a memorial, number symbolism, that like how number works in Chinese ideologies and philosophies. But this one, I make five of them actually. Five is like a solid number, and so it's referenced a lot in a lot of ancient stories or like symbolism. A lot of things is arranged with five, And it's basically quite a foundation knot, and I made it this way to referencing that how the four pillars, and when Nuwa is popping them up, they set the foundation of direction as well, and all this knot, they are each representing one meaning. The one that with the big ears is like a familiar-looking Chinese knot that you will see in a lot of decorations. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Anna's Knot or the Pun Chen Ki, because it just looks like it's never ending. You can't see the end or beginning. And it's kind of like a time and connection that I really want to have with basically people and the world around me. And it's basically quite a blessing knot. So this I include, why I included it in. And square one is called the Keixin, Keixiong or Keixin knot. It's basically referencing the return that the people used to pray to the gods, and it's a reminder to connect with your surroundings. It's not you, not just oneself. You exist with other people and essentially your environment as well. And so this is another thing. Yes, and this really small ball ones is kind of like a simplified version of the button knot that you will see on Changsan or Qibao that is like there. And I could not find any elaborated meaning behind the knot, but just because it's used a lot with buttons. So essentially bringing two things together and hold together, and this is how it always be in, essentially. In like a little rope, it's like a little system that you can elongate it or shorten it, but when you shorten it, it looks thicker and stronger. So it's kind of like like a little manifestation of the idiom that we use in the Chinese title. So behind you guys, there's like a little big crochet column, and it's just like an intense version of trying to represent it. There's still a lot of work you actually need to put in, and weaving everyone together not represent an individual. And then it's actually coming from one line and making this big gigantic column. And at the bottom of it, and there's some pearls in it. They're like a defense mechanism from pearls shells. But it's become so beautiful because like things will work on it if they wrap this. But essentially it's like something that could harm them into this pearl and become this really nice little looking thing. So I guess for me it's kind of symbolically, there's a community, humanity, there always be conflicts and disagreements or crisis. But we can build something beautiful from there if we look at it properly. This is kind of how it becomes, and crochet is, I just like realized that there's a lot of things that human language would not be sufficient to say it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I really want to use crocheting is because that's my mom's love language. When she is not an expressively emotive person in words, but that's the way she showed love. So I was just thinking, like, what if I don't know English? What if I don't even know Tilo Mali, or if I'm mute or whatever? Like, I just could not communicate with words or write. Then this would be one thing that I would do the same to show my appreciation. And the act of care is to recreate the crochet and creating something that I put a lot of energy and efforts in. Yeah, so this is how the act of crocheting comes into work. And further back, this is how I imagine Nuwa tails would be. And I chose a pattern that's like similar to scale, because Nuwa is described as a kind of a humanoid person with like either just the head of some human form, or the upper body is human and the rest is kind of like a scaly, like a fish or a snake. And the ancient illustration is, looks like a wrap around the earth, and she's trying to create the world. So I chose red is that she become the venue. And then last night I did mention that I accidentally make it look quite like human flesh and with blood and just tissue. And I quite like it that it becomes the human placenta itself as well. So it's quite nice and it's just quite feminine and warm. And I think I just want to, maybe like I'm looking into how to love not just ourselves, but also how much connection do I have with my environment. Like I go outside this building, of course, but where I'm standing and how I connect with it, and it kind of is represented with how I make things. It's like essentially I'm being nurtured and being careful in a way that I could not really describe it in words. Yeah.
Okay, Alex.
I remember, I think at the Silence Project, you were really like interested in like different ideas of love. I think it's really nice that you found this kind of material experience.
Yeah.
You are listening to Art Not Science, presented by the Physics Room Contemporary Art Space.
Part of the show is we invited friends and family, some artists and some are not, people who have also had Chinese whakapapa, and asked them to contribute an object that related to their experience of being Chinese in Aotearoa, and also to include a statement which are in that back folder, and it's the words about their experiences, but also to maybe contribute some ideas about how to create harmonious relationships here. So we've got an object from Kerri-Ann Lee, from Campbell Jen, from David Liu, who's Tessa's brother. So why is the boss?
Holly.
No, David's not my boss. And a cookbook from Kim Lo, who's in the audience today. Oshane Hansen, Alan Shah, Andy Wing, Jimmy Chin, Sunny Khan, Kamal and Maxine Chan,
Salman Zadeh,
and Monica Wang and Shinji. And so since you guys asked them about their experiences of being Chinese in Aotearoa and about how to create harmonious relationships, I wondered if you guys had some ideas around that.
Yeah, I think also last night at the opening, we kind of went around and we shared our experiences being Chinese in Aotearoa, and they're very diverse. And our friend Greg was mentioning how he grew up here and he lost his Cantonese language. He never could fit in here and he could never fit in back in Hong Kong. Because it wasn't Kiwi enough or wasn't Chinese enough. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. My brother David, he did the paint swatches and he left the statement at the end kind of like, so where do I fit in? Or which one am I? And we shared, there were experiences of racism as well that were shared across the spectrum of very aggressive racism and very subtle racism that's very normalized. And we, as Chinese, often we don't talk about it and it hasn't really been talked about or accepted. But I think like what Y was saying is, yeah, we need to turn the crises into strengths. I was thinking about my father who grew up in Seattle, born and raised there in a black neighborhood. And in the 60s, during a time of segregation, he received a lot of racism, his whole family. He can't really speak Cantonese anymore. He's culturally very African-American, maybe, or embracive of different cultures. And I think because of the hardship that his family experienced, he's now a very strong promoter of racial harmony and justice and Indigenous aspirations and rights. And so I think our experiences of racism here can help us to work for harmony. The same way that our village life, our extended family life, this fabric is disintegrating, we need to now look at how we can weave new village with many multicolored strands and new intricate patterns that are embraceable of our complex identities. We were discussing how in Aotearoa there's a very narrow perception of what it means to be Chinese. There's still a lot of ignorance about the diversity that exists within China and within us as Chinese. But there's so many of us, similar to myself, who have great grandparents, like if they're Samoan, Fijian, Kiribati, Maori, we all kind of pop back to the same place in generally, if their grandparents came in the 19th century or early 1900s. So, yeah, a great diversity that we want to help educate people in Aotearoa about. And also help educate ourselves on our own culture with re-examining some of our stories and our cultural practices.
Yeah, for me, one thing that is like still quite stick to me, of course, there's like an everyday life, racism or discrimination, all those things. And something that was struck me the most is how being in Chinese and creative arts, and how I was asked by a tutor this question, why don't you make Hong Kong art? And I just feel a little bit confused, really, is that what does it look like, really? Because for me, I don't see the need to actually make it explicitly Hong Kong. And so at that moment, as a student, I just like studying a lot of Hong Kong art and what they represent, what they should look like, but I just don't see myself in them. So I kind of, at the end, I kind of throw the question back. It's like, what does Hong Kong look like to you? Or what is Hong Kong art look like to you? But then there's one part of like, kind of like all this question is like, why don't you be what I've imagined you to be? Or like, and that kind of makes me think like, actually I can just be as it, but I could kind of focusing on something that is outside of myself, because that particular project to me is too much of a self-centered or like inward looking, and I've done that enough and it's time to look outward, out of sight of ourselves. And I think a lot of migrant artists or people who have like diverse background would often ask this question, is that can you feel the need to examine their own cultural identity as if it needs to be justified somehow. So I guess it's kind of how I turn this always question is like, I feel like I'm expected to make a certain kind of art that looks really Chinese to be able to actually be looked at properly. But I guess these experiences give me a little bit of like a chance to rebel. It's like, what, I'm not going to look at myself like I'm actually a wrong Chinese or a particular kind of people, but I actually throw the question back to you and I'm dividing myself. So like, why don't I actually work with different people and like just collecting stories or generating my own story? And so I guess how being Chinese in Aotearoa has came to be for me is that it has become like from like always questioning if I should stay within the expectation to forming my own narrative, with, of course, care and consideration and consultation as well. It's not, it's like how, like how she takes space, but without taking over on top of it, each other. This kind of balancing act that I'm still trying to figure out, I would say. And I will have one thing to add too, is that it almost feels like for me, or for artists to talk about the identity, it would be like, oh, I suffered all this thing and now I need to represent it all to you. But there's always another side of hurt that you provide love that could make people be loved more and show that love instead of, not saying that like showing the hurt is invalid, but also I think it's time to actually show more how to love, and this is kind of how my practice has been informed. So,
I think it's probably a good place to end it. Did anybody have any questions for Tessa and Y?
Audrey, I have a technical question. Where did you go to Hinoshain?
There's a book in the libraries. It's by Lydia Chin. And it's basically make your own knots when I learn Chinese knot. Because it's still quite like a folk art in China. So I looked at online websites, or like from the craft masters, technicians, that they will teach you step by step. And yeah, so I learned from those people who make the technique quite accessible. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like why I love it, because it's basically you can recreate it yourself. So I don't own the art at all. But it's like everyone can just go online and make this knot things and go ahead and do their own thing with it. Yeah.
I think that's a really nice, the fact that, you know, this is a self-taught thing and it's not so romanticized, like, oh, my mom taught me how to do it. I think that speaks really nicely to how knowledge is passed down and how,
yeah,
you know, cultures and communities are enriched. And
yeah.
So, yeah, really
nice. Now that I think about it, the whole exhibition is quite filled with craft techniques. I feel like this is like quite a good show to representing all this folk art, like paper cutting and shadow puppets here, mm-hmm. and lanterns, and of course the good old knitting and crocheting that is, now there's more textile design is happening in the contemporary art scene, but I still like the idea to bring all this folk art practice into a contemporary art space to actually just give them a space to be in a sense. Yeah.
Can I throw out another question?
Yeah, totally.
Tessa, I love your the paper cuts. Can you, so that's on library paper? Is that a paper that you can find? What's your kind of technique? I mean, it's amazing. It looks as though these different layers to the paper that you've like incised and almost operated on. Can you talk more to that process?
Mm. Yeah, I wanted to use mulberry paper because mulberry is significant to China and to Oceania. It's the plant which feeds the silkworms, but also it's a plant which has been used for its bark, to make bark cloth in China and throughout Oceania. Yeah, so it's the same common plant and also to make paper. Yeah, and there's actually two sheets, so I would cut out one sheet just in a very freehand cutting. Yeah, just so that it was a very enjoyable, meditative, reflective process. And then I glued them together. But yeah, I've always really like admired so many different Chinese arts and crafts, including paper cutting, and also like the intricacy of different Chinese arts that, you know, just little items that Dan's had around the house that I've always looked at and thought, wow, like you can carve like a beautiful landscape out of one tiny rock. I think it's opened the possibilities up for me looking at this. Yeah, but like I was saying, I was really reflecting on this longing I had for village. I haven't been able to travel, but there was a time where I was living and working closely with a number of Pacific islands, and I just love being in the village, and I love being close to nature, having that community connection, extended family. So this was kind of being poured into the cutting.
The connection to the kapa as well, a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the same plant that makes, yeah. The materials I chose are trying to show these connections, yeah. Even the images in here, things like the chicken or the pig, you know, it also talks to our ancient ancestral connection. The pig traveled from southern China throughout, you know, so this is also a side of the story that is not talked about in Western New Zealand discourse in terms of the Chinese being here. But there's actually a whole other connection that we have with Aotearoa that exists aside from that.
I just kind of have a comment, really. So Simon Kahn and I were one of the founders of the Aotearoa Asian Artist Hui, and it was because we were South Islanders and felt out of touch with anything Chinese, which seemed to be very Auckland-centred. So we had a hui at Corbin's in 2013, one I think at Te Tuhi.
Yes.
In 2015.
Yes.
And then Kerry Ann Lee took that and did this big ahui in 2018, which was massive, like a month-long symposium at Te Papa and international artists coming, and it was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah, at all of these huis, there's always this dialogue that is very painful, you know, just talking about racism. And I guess my comment to you guys and my mihi to you is, I love the way that you have flipped it and made this really nurturing environment for people to share that, the time for people to share that if they wanted to. Yeah, and the work is beautiful as well. And I guess my question would be, what do we do next for that community?
I think when we were planning this exhibition, we really wanted to collaborate with more people, more artists, and we wanted to have more people contribute to the discourse and the conversation. But because of shortage of time, we had this type of collaboration where there were just a few friends who were able to contribute an idea or a story or perspective. But I think we would like to collaborate more with others and create more spaces, even if they were online discussions, a forum of mutual support and conversation.
And I didn't mean to make it sound like there's a big job for you. For you guys, but you know, it's something that we should think about.
Yeah. We should have a talk about it.
I guess for me, it's that, of course, I would love to like do more collaboration, like exploring different methods. Like maybe this could be a podcast, maybe there could be another book or whatever, and this it could be manifested in such different ways. But I guess what I see this exhibition or my practice with other collaborators, I just hope that there will be a starting point, and if it doesn't get noticed, I will still keep saying things like this and hoping that, say, I could meet Tessa, people like Tessa, or I could just let whoever has come behind me, the newly graduated, has similar ideas, no matter what their background is, that they can still feel that this is like a safe topic, or like there has been someone who's talking about it, they've been not less lonely on this journey. And this is how I hope that would be happening next. But in terms of practical plan, there's a lot of conversation is to be happen. Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to keep on doing what you're doing.
All right. Let's call the talk there. Thank you all for coming, and Julian, thank you, Yannis, for sharing about the work.
That was Tessa and Wai talking about their work in Kapuia na Aho, Dansu Bushien. The exhibition is on until Sunday the 24th of April, so come and check it out at our gallery at 301 Montreal Street in the Art Centre's Registry Editions building. We are open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesdays through to Fridays and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the weekend. Thank you for listening and tune in next month on Friday the 15th of April at 8 p.m. for our next episode of Art, Not Science. Mā te wā!
The Physics Room is generously supported by Creative New Zealand, the Christchurch City Council, the Rata Foundation, Three Boys Brewery, Scientech, Resine Paints, and the Crater Rim.